Well, I first have a disclaimer to make. I am not Danny Clark. The meditation that we're going to have this morning was prepared by Danny, and it's going to be presented by me because Danny is home with the flu. So I told him he'd do anything to get out of what he's supposed to do. When I read his presentation this morning, and I thought this song came to me from that was back in the 60s. It's by the Changing Times, and it's Christian St. Peter's. It's "Follow Me, I'm the Pied Piper, and I will show you where it's at." That's the thought that kind of came to me after I read his presentation, and I think it's the concept of what Danny is trying to get at, I think, is, you know, Jesus is calling each and every one of us to follow him in everything we do and say. With that said, we will try to get into this. If I can get technology and myself to work together, we'll be fine. Several weeks ago, I brought a message about the birth of Jesus. I mentioned that God took his time between creating the universe and sending Christ to us in Bethlehem. He used unimportant people and places and moved the earth with the birth of a baby. That baby was not just any baby, but the Son of God. Now, let's fast forward 33 years later. We are now looking at the beginning of the last week of Jesus' life. We find Jesus preparing to enter Jerusalem, a city that presents a lot of danger for him. In Matthew 20, 17 to 19, Jesus actually predicts his death. Now, Jesus was going to Jerusalem. On the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." This was actually the third time Jesus had predicted his death to his disciples. According to these verses, he had a very clear idea of what this week would hold. Even knowing what he knew, he proceeded on the journey God had sent him on started him on 33 years earlier. The verses read this morning account what happened shortly before Jesus and his disciples arrived in Jerusalem. As recorded in Matthew, Jesus had instructed two of his disciples to go into Bethany to find a young colt. However, in Mark, it is recorded that he sent them to Bethany. I looked at this in William Barclay's commentary and learned that the two cities are located very close to Jerusalem. Bethany was one of the cities that marked a Sabbath's journey, day journey, or less than 1 mile. And Bethany was a known lodging place for people who would come to Jerusalem for the Passover. Barclay concluded that the disciples were sent to Bethany. Remember that Bethany is also where Jesus had raised Lazarus and where Mary had anointed Jesus' feet with the expensive perfume. Either way, the importance is not the city, but how the events played out. Jesus had come to Jerusalem with his disciples to observe the Passover. Matthew 21:2. "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey there and with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." Jesus most likely had prepared ahead of time for the young donkey to be waiting. In verse 3, he gave the disciples precise words, "The Lord needs them," so the owner would know who to give the donkey and his colt to. It was when I looked into these verses that I relearned something that I think I knew but had never really considered: the why. Why did Jesus need to ride a colt that had never been ridden? Why was it so important? In the Old Testament, in Numbers 19, 2 and in Deuteronomy 21, instructions are given that on what is required in ceremonies of cleansing. In both instances, the instructions state to use a red heifer that has never been put under a yoke. Use an animal that had never been used to accomplish any work. In 1 Samuel 6, there are instructions given to the Philistines on how to return the Ark of the Covenant to Israel. Here they were told to place the Ark in a cart that had never been used. There was definitely a spiritual reverence in using these things or animals that had never been worked or that had still were new. So here we see Jesus using a colt that had never been ridden. It was new. It was a first fruit. The special sacredness of the occasion was underlined by the fact that the colt had never been ridden by any man before. Another why. Why did Jesus use a donkey colt or to ride into Jerusalem and not a horse or a horse's colt? Matthew 21:9. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. When a king would go to war, they often rode a white horse. When a king wanted to come in peace, he rode a donkey. In his ride into Jerusalem, Jesus showed two things. First, he is a king. Second, he is a king that was coming in peace. However, his kingship was not of any earthly kingdom. He was coming to be the king of our hearts. He was coming not to condemn men or to bring war, but that through him all men could be saved. John 3:17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. In the verses read this morning, we also see that the crowd responded to Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem. Remember, Jesus was riding into Jerusalem during the Passover celebration week. One commentary estimated that there was upward to 2.5 million people in this celebration. Another commentary estimates the crowd to be about 150,000. There was actually a requirement that every male that lived within 20 miles of Jerusalem had to attend the Passover celebration, and it was also well attended by many who lived a lot further away. When I was 16, I was able to attend one of the first Jesus festivals held. It was called Expo 72, and over 100,000 people attended. Another time, my son Caleb and I went to a NASCAR race in Richmond. Again, there was about 100,000 people in the attendance. I can testify that 100,000 people is a very large number, and I am sure the leaders had their hands full with all that was going on. In the account given in verse 8, it simply says, a very large crowd. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while others cut branches from the trees and spread them along the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven! So here we see a very large crowd, not just standing and watching Jesus ride into what looked like he was in a parade, but these people were actively engaged in his riding in. They were laying down their cloaks, tree branches, and they were shouting. This looked like a crowd that was enjoying what was happening and was excited about who Jesus was and what he was going to do. As they entered into the city, those they passed started asking, Who is this? The people answered, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. The people were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. The word Hosanna means save now. These people were expecting Jesus to do something great. They were asking him to save us now. I expect that many that were there that day had heard Jesus and had heard of his healing others, walking on water, and of his many teachings. They had expectations and hopes. However, I wonder if they truly understood what Jesus was all about. Were they looking for an earthly king who would free them from under the Roman rule? Were they looking at Jesus to just be a very good doctor and teacher? Let's take a look at how Jesus viewed himself. By understanding some of how Jesus viewed himself, we can better understand how he wants us to live. Let's take a look at Philippians 2:5-11. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being a very nature of God, did not consider equally with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This same Jesus who came riding into Jerusalem as a king viewed himself as a servant. His kingdom is a kingdom of servanthood. His kingdom is a kingdom of doing unto others. It is hard for us to grasp Jesus is the only God who was willing to become a human so he could bring salvation to us. He gave up his kingdom to serve us through death. Earlier I commented that the leaders should have their hands full at the Passover celebration that was going on. However busy they were, they took the time and energy required to stir up the crowds against Jesus. Matthew 26:3. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they schemed to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. They not only had to devise a plan to kill Jesus, they had to do it in such a way that at least the majority of those in attendance would not revolt against them. In the verses that precede the scripture we read this morning, we are told about Lazarus being raised from the dead. After he was raised, the religious leaders wanted to kill Jesus right then and there, but were afraid of the response they would have gotten from the people. Matthew 27:22-23. What shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah? Pilate asked. They answered him, crucify him. Why? Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. And in a short time later, during the span of 1 week, the religious leaders were able to get the crowds turned from being excited about Jesus and his arrival in Jerusalem to having such a hatred for Jesus that they wanted to crucify him. They go from shouting, Hosanna, and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, to crucify him, kill him, give us Barabbas. Matthew 27:31. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him, and they laid him away to crucify. They led him away to crucify him. I think we often look back on this story and compare this occasion with the long walk that followed only a short week earlier. We wonder how many of those who were in the first triumphant entry were also caught up in the yelling for Jesus to be crucified. I cannot imagine the emotion that Jesus had to feel that week. He came from total compassion and love. He had such a compassion and a love so deep, he was willingly gave himself to the crowd to be ridiculed, beaten, tormented, and killed so his blood could cover all our sins. In verse 8, we are told, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Ever since the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, the human race has needed salvation. We needed a way to atone for our sins. Adam and Eve started a chain reaction that has grown greater and greater. Each one of us here today have our own list of sins that we personally have committed. Romans 3:22-24. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. We may not have killed anyone, stolen anything, or even committed any of those other big sins, but each one of us has sin in our lives. Without Christ, we have no hope. Without His willingness to go through His life, death, and resurrection on this earth, we would be hopeless. But it is not hopeless. We do have a choice. We can shout Hosanna. We can all know salvation. It is here. It is available. And it is free. Christ gave it to us. We need only to accept it. Jesus was willing to accept His servitude for us. Now let's see what happened because He did that. Philippians 2:9-11. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name. That is the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God made Jesus' name to be the name that is above every name. I remember a sermon that Gerald Showalter once gave. He told a story about working with a man who constantly throughout the day would use the name Jesus as a curse word. Finally, Gerald had heard enough and confronted a man on why he would use Jesus' name in such a way. The man had no real answer, so Gerald told him why he did it. It was because there is power in the name of Jesus. He also asked him not to use Jesus' name in such a way. In Philippians, Paul is telling us there is power in Jesus' name. All of us will someday bow and proclaim Jesus is Lord. During His 3-year ministry, Jesus used the word, follow me, take up my cross, or be doers or the word, doers of the word and not hearers only. It will be easy to follow Jesus if every occasion to follow Him was like Palm Sunday, but it is not. Following Jesus is more like shouting Hosanna or being in church each week. It means being willing to follow Jesus through His tough times. It means being willing to move out of our comfort zone. It means being willing to give Jesus the lead in all things. It is often during the tough times that we grow the most. In our culture, we may not be asked to give up lives for Christ, but we are willing to give Him the times where others will ridicule us. Are we willing to tell others who Jesus is, what He did, how that has affected our own lives? Are we willing to turn over to Christ those small parts of our lives that He needs to control? This morning, I want to ask each of you to consider what it truly means to be a follower of Jesus. Let's follow Jesus as he goes through Palm Sunday, as he goes through the streets of Jerusalem carrying his cross. Let's follow Jesus for all times. Let's go ahead, bow down, and proclaim Jesus as Lord.